If you set a goal and then that old soundtrack starts playing, you know what I'm talking about? Where all of a sudden in your head, you think, who do you think you are? You're too much for people. You aren't enough. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know where to start. You should know how to do this already. If that's the soundtrack that plays in your head the moment that you go to set goals, this episode's going to give you some much needed support. I'm really jazzed about this episode. I'm going to share with you two words that will help you reverse engineer your goals and get you going. Want to know what those words are? Stick around, listen in, let's do this. Do you want to feel less scattered and more focused, but the idea of goal setting sounds like adding more pressure to your already pressure-filled life? If so, welcome to the Plan Goal Plan podcast. I'm Danielle McGew. I'm a professor, mom, planner addict, and recovering overachiever. After years of hustle and grind, I was tired of trying harder. I was ready to try easier. At the intersection of research, practice, and play, I found a purposeful path to planning and goal setting that is fun, simple, and sustainable. If you're ready to try easier, if you're ready to make memories and do meaningful work, grab a pen. I will equip you with tools and practices to clarify purpose, reclaim time, and achieve goals, playfully and lightly. Let's get started.
Okay, before I jump into things, I've got something super exciting to share with y'all, and it's free, for now at least. So I've created a mini audio course called Bold and Balanced, and it's all about leveraging the power of deletion so that you can save 1 to 5 hours a week to spend more time on what matters most. So like I said, it's completely free, and it comes with this amazingly comprehensive workbook. You can access it by going to the website boldbalancedwomen.com. That's boldbalancedwomen.com, or text the word balanced with a D to 319-264-3332. That's 319-264-3332. I'll make sure that I put all that info in the show notes so you can check it out. Like I said, it's completely free. I'm in the beta testing stage of this, and I wanted to share it with the people that have been listening to me because I appreciate y'all so much. In the future, it might be a couple $100, so go jump on it. It was a blast to make, and I can't wait to share it with you. So I've said this before, but my husband and I, we were married for 10 years before we had kids, and we were so excited to become parents. We were so ready to have kids. It was a jolt, and I remember just being in this wild fog of tiredness. I couldn't think clearly. I never had energy. Everything felt like a slog. I was grumpy pants. I didn't know who I was anymore. Even things that were fun felt like work, including my marriage, which up to that point really had always felt easy to me. And we were at a point where I realized this is not the marriage that I want anymore. It wasn't like we were bad and fighting or anything like that. We just didn't feel connected. It felt like we were just tagging each other in, you know, hey, it's your turn, take care of this. We had very little time with just the two of us because we felt really guilty about getting a sitter. And then something happened. I was journaling one day and I had this thought, what if I just show up in the marriage as if we were really rocking it? And that blew me away. I just started to imagine, what do I really, really, really want my marriage to look like, to feel like? What kind of things would we do together? And I started to just imagine my ideal marriage. And then I thought, well, what if I just show up as if I'm already the person that's in that marriage? So I compliment my husband, I pay attention to him, I give him hugs, we start spending time with each other. I've talked before about the magic of the words what if, and I'm sticking to that. But y'all, the words as if are just as powerful. What if you show up as if you are already your ideal self? You're already your future self. So Dr. Benjamin Hardy has a book called Be Your Future Self Now. And in it, he says, your actions come from your identity. And when your identity is rooted in current commitments rather than your future self, your actions are weak and unaligned with your goal. The only way to realize your future self is to be your future self now. So I want you to think about a goal that's been tugging on your heart, that you've been yearning for, that, you know, there's just something in you that has been speaking, you need to do this. And then I want you to think, who would you need to be in order to do that thing? What would you think about? What would you dream about? What would you eat? What time would you wake up? What kind of clothes would you wear? And I want you to show up as if You are already that person. So I've been really fortunate to have the opportunity to further develop my coaching practice. So I've been an elite certified coach. Shout out to Mitch Matthews for helping me with that certification. But this past January, I started a really intensive training as a women-centered coach. And that's led by Dr. Zammit with Evolving Wisdom. And this process invites you to create a new story about who you are and what your strengths are, and then really to show up in that new story. And I think that this concept of how do I create a new story about myself and how do I show up as if I'm already in that story right now in this moment is really, really similar to Benjamin Hardy's notion of future self. It's really not that different than James Clear's identity-based approach to habit building. So for those of you that haven't read James Clear's book, Atomic Habits, it's wildly popular. And in it, he sort of says, rather than thinking about all the steps and tasks that you would have to do in order to create the habit, you think about the identity of someone who already has that habit and then work kind of back from there. So you create an identity for yourself in which that habit is part of your story, is part of your normal. And then you kind of take on the tasks, the skills, the habits that that person would have. So you build an identity that supports the skills, habits, mindsets that you want to support. For James Clear, it's the transformative power of building an identity that supports the habits that you want to adopt. So this kind of shifts you from outcomes to fundamentally changing who you are. So who do you want to be? How do you create a really clear vision of that person? And then how do you show up today as if you are already her? I'm going to raise your hand if you struggle to break goals or projects into smaller parts. That's a really, really common issue that many of my clients have, that many people in my Facebook community have. But when we set a goal and we're trying to break it into smaller parts, there's a lot of reasons why that might be difficult for us. But when we do that, we're really treating goal setting and projects as technical problems. And a technical problem is like, if I just knew exactly what I needed to do and what order I needed to do it, I could just solve the problem. So that's a technical problem. I first learned about the difference between technical problems and adaptive problems in the book called The Practice of Adaptive Leadership. And there are multiple authors. I think it's Hayfield, Linsky, Grasshow, Practice of Adaptive Leadership. I came across this again in the book Immunity to Change. And in both of them, they really talk about technical problems versus adaptive problems. So technical problems are clearly defined issues with known solutions. And usually you can just implement what we already know and it's going to fix things. Adaptive problems are incredibly complex issues. They're often poorly defined and lack clear solutions. And they oftentimes require changes in things like attitudes, values, habits. So in order to solve an adaptive problem, you're probably going to have to move through emotions, conflicts, new situations. You're going to have to completely rework the current status quo. So one of the examples I believe that's given in Immunity to Change is that many of us think about things like weight loss as a technical problem. I need to cut back my calories. I need to increase my movement, my calorie expenditure. And if I do those things, I'm going to lose weight. If it was really that easy, if it were really that easy, the weight loss industry would not be booming the way that it is. What that probably means is that we approach weight loss as if it were a technical problem when really it's an adaptive problem. So the reason that you're not losing weight isn't because you don't understand how to cut down calories. It's because you have some attitudes and values and habits around eating. Like maybe your family takes a lot of pride in eating and it's part of your culture. And to turn down food is a sign that you're rejecting the person. I think in the book Immunity to Change, they also give an example of a leader who struggles with delegation. And while you can read books and it can tell you how to delegate, and I can give you a good script for how you might be able to delegate tasks, you might still struggle to do that because somewhere you have this value. And in the book, they valued their blue collar working family, and that was their roots and where they came from. And the idea of delegating other tasks meant that you were lazy, that you weren't doing the work yourself, and that there was like shame in you not just sucking it up and doing it yourself. And to let go of that identity felt like a rejection of his roots. a rejection of other values. So there's a value clash there. So what's really interesting is when it comes to planning and when it comes to goal setting, we treat it a lot of times like it is a technical problem. Here is a goal. I'm just going to break it down into lots of different parts. And if I just follow those parts, one after the other, after the other, after the other, at the end, I'm going to have an outcome. And yet for most of us, we struggle making the parts. We don't know if moving them in that order is really the right order. We might have hangups around all of those things. So a lot of times goal setting isn't a matter of just knowing the tasks and then executing them in the order that they need to be executed, but it's an adaptive problem. That's why in the plan, goal, plan method, I'm always like, plan for clarity first, then set goals for direction, and then optimize for effective efficiency and mastery. You have to understand yourself. You have to know what your values are and your attitudes and your habits, not just so that you can set the right goals, but because it's going to influence how you see yourself. It's going to influence the very way in which you approach your goal. Our goals require technical knowledge, but that's not enough. There's adaptive work that needs to be done. So rather than just making a list of all the tasks that you need to do and how to go from there, you begin with who do I need to be to do this? And how would someone who's done that think, act, and feel? In the field of theater, there is a concept called utopian performance. I believe that Jill Dolan has a book by this name, Utopian Performance, and she argues that certain performances can evoke feelings of a shared ideal world. Now, this feeling might be ephemeral. It might last for just a moment, but these utopian performances help us imagine and feel a better world. The performance transforms mere entertainment and it becomes a space for envisioning social change. We have the ability as humans to imagine things that aren't real, to imagine things that are grander than our current situation. And through that imagination, we can create a vision for our future self. And then today, we can show up as if we are already that person. I also want to point out that our past self has left us some clues. I want you to think about a time that you felt really powerful, really capable, really energetic and passionate, and like you're gonna do the thing. There's probably a moment in your past where you felt that, and I want you to connect with that. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to connect to that precise moment. What did it smell like? What did it feel like? Was your jaw tight or loose? What was your breathing like? Was it fast? Was it slow? What did you look like? How did you stand or sit? What was your mindset like? What was the soundtrack that was playing in your head in that moment? Resource that. Recognize that your past self has within it moments, glimpses, energies of the future self that you want to find and locate, and then show up as if you are her now. So as I leave you today, I'm going to leave you with a few questions. What is your utopian self? How does your future self show up? What would it mean to show up today as if you are the person doing the thing you dream of doing? What skills would you need to cultivate? What habits would you be required to adopt? I wish for you the ability to find hope in the power of as if, that you might know the transformative power of envisioning the full potential of you. Be well, be bold in that vision, be balanced, and be well, friends. If this podcast has inspired you, guided you, or just made you laugh, the number one way that you can thank me is by leaving a written review for the show over on Apple Podcasts. I'm seriously tickled every time that I hear from you all, so pop onto Instagram and follow Plan Goal Plan and digital message me. I want to say hello. I want to geek out about all things planning and goal setting. Keep sensing the possibilities, y'all.